We're still plunging our way through this great chapter in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I have so enjoyed being stirred by the many men and women in the Word of God that we read that walked and lived by faith. For some time now, we've looked at many Bible characters. Most of our focus in this series has been on individuals and how they individually walk by faith. We did look at a couple, Jochebed and Amram, and as a couple, we looked at working together by faith. The passage of Scripture that we're going to read, just one Scripture verse from Hebrews 11, and then we'll look at the book of Exodus in chapter number 14, really centers around a group. And this is the first time really in this chapter that we see really a group of people who collectively walked by faith. For the children of Israel to get across the Red Sea, they had to, together, unified as a team, walk together by faith and trust God together to cross the Red Sea. So I want to call your attention this morning to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 29. This will be part one in a message I've entitled Winners of Faith. Winners of Faith, and this will be part one as we look at the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Next week, by God's grace, we'll look at, actually next week we may preach on Mother's Day, but the next time we come back to Hebrews 11, we'll look at Winners of Faith part two as we look at the story in verse 30 of the Israelites as they compassed the walls of Jericho and they were victorious in that situation. I want to call your attention this morning, though, to verse number 29, where the Bible says this, speaking of the Israelites, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. The Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. The Israelites passed through the Red Sea as by dry land by faith. The Egyptians, obviously not by faith, the Scripture says they drown. Let's pray together before we look at God's Word this morning. Father, I thank You for the privilege again to look at Your Word. I thank You for how applicable Your Word is to our lives. Lord, I do pray that You would take Your truth this morning and You'd meet needs in Your people's lives. Lord, You know each one here. You know the spiritual needs, and Father, I cast my total dependence upon Thee, and I ask Thee, Lord, that You would take truth, use me as Your servant. I pray that You would communicate truth to lives. Lord, would You get the glory for it? I'm desperately in need of Your help this morning. Lord, would You help us as believers to be winners by faith, that we would be on the victory side, that we see You give victories in the areas of our lives where we need that continued victory. And Lord, I pray You'd bind Satan, defeat the devil here, and glorify Yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a 1975 playoff game. I was a kid sitting on the couch watching my favorite team at that time, the Dallas Cowboys. I was hoping that they would win against the Minnesota Vikings as they played in Bloomington, Minnesota, and they played this playoff game. But my hopes as a young person were dashed as the Cowboys never could seem to get on top. It was 14-10. The game was really drawing to an end. There was 24 seconds left in the game. The Cowboys had the ball, and me as a young person sat there thinking, the odds are against them. There's no way they're going to win this game. The season's over. And sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I just hate to see the good guys lose. You know, they were the good guys back then. I was the one watching them. They were the team I wanted. You ever turn it off, they're going to lose, and you just turn and forget it. You ever leave a game thinking, oh, this game is just a nightmare. I can't take any more. Well, that's how I was as a young person sitting on the couch watching the Dallas Cowboys. 24 seconds left in the game. The odds completely, absolutely against them when the ball was snapped to Roger Staubach. You remember him? Some of you older folks like me, I hate to admit it. You remember him? The ball was snapped. And he threw a long bomb that was now is now known as the Hail Mary pass, because they say he prayed a Hail Mary when he threw the ball. And little to my attention, I got up, and I saw the ball in the end zone. And here's a pack of guys, the way I remember it. And Drew Pearson, one of the Dallas Cowboys receivers, caught that ball in the end zone with 24 seconds. Actually, there was less than that. And they won the game 17-14. The odds were absolutely 100% against them. And as a young person, I jumped up and down and was excited because my team won against all the odds. And I was excited. Of course, they lost the next game, but that's neither here nor there. In the passage of Scripture we looked at in our Scripture reading, we see the children of Israel, the odds are against them. Humanly speaking, they're doomed and they're ready for defeat as Pharaoh and the Egyptians come upon them, ready to destroy them. But the Scripture says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 29, by faith they, the children of Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. The odds were against them, but the Scripture says they were victorious. They were winners. They were winners against the Egyptians, never more to see the Egyptians as they were drowned in the river. They crossed through on dry land, and the Egyptians were defeated. They were winners because of their faith. God wants us, as His children, to be winners. He wants us to live in victory. He wants us to walk on the victory side. I want us to look at three truths taken from this lesson of the crossing of the Red Sea, and I want us to look at this story afresh and anew and ask God to use it in our life, that God would enable us as His people to be winners by faith. Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14, the passage of Scripture we read the latter part in our Scripture reading here this morning. Want us to look at the earlier part, and we'll probably look some at the latter part as well. And I really want to just give you three truths this morning that I trust God will use to help us as His people to be winners by faith. Number one, I want you to see this. A winner understands that God sometimes leads us to wilderness impossibilities. Let me say that again. A winner understands that God sometimes leads us to wilderness impossibilities. It is important that we understand that sometimes in God's divine providence, He leads us to wilderness impossibilities. When we find ourselves in a situation that, humanly speaking, is impossible, sometimes we ask ourselves, and the devil allows us sometimes to get in our mind, we think, what have I done wrong? God's mad at me. God's out to get me. I did something and God hasn't shown me, but He's mad at me and He's got me in this position that is humanly impossible. It is important to understand that a winner understands sometimes God leads us into wilderness impossibilities. Look at verse number 20 of Exodus 13. Exodus 13, it says, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Ephraim in the edge of the wilderness. Look at verse number 1 now of chapter number 14. The Lord spake unto Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Heroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Ziphon before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Aren't you glad for the cities we have now, you know? Philadelphia and these nice easy pronunciation of cities. The point of the matter here is God led them. F.B. Meyer says this, the easiest route to Canaan lay through Isthmus of Suez and the land of the Philistines. A journey of a little over 100 miles would have conducted them direct to their destination. But God did not permit them to go that way, lest the sight of the embattled host should unnerve them. In after years, when the education and revelation of the desert were finished, they might behold these scenes undismayed. But as yet, they must not know war until they had been more deeply taught in the might and care of God. So is our journey ever adapted to our strength. God is always considering what we are able to bear, never leading us into dangers before which heart and flesh would succumb. God led them about. It is important for us to understand that they were where God wanted them to be. God led them there. God sometimes leads us to wilderness impossibilities. Now I want you, secondly, not only to think about the fact that God led them, but God led them now to an impossible situation. I mean, the situation humanly was impossible. Look at verse 3. For Pharaoh, following verse 2 of where they are encamped by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. F.B. Meyer says this, it must have been a great disappointment when the cloud altered its course and led them due south. But there was no alternative. So they finally found themselves encamped in the last place in all the land that human judgment would have selected. It would appear as if Moses himself would have hesitated in camping there had he not been distinctly commanded to bid the children of Israel to take up that position. On the one side of them was Migdol, the modern Machpelah, an impassable waste of sand. On the other was the Red Sea. It was a perfect cul-de-sac. You ever live on a cul-de-sac? I lived on a cul-de-sac in Indianapolis. It was great because no traffic would come through. It was a number of about three or four houses in the cul-de-sac. It was horrible if you wanted to get out and they were doing something on the road or, you know, big furniture truck delivering some guy's new furniture. You couldn't get out. You didn't drive on somebody's grass and then you get in big trouble. You were stuck. This is where the children of Israel found themselves. It was a perfect cul-de-sac. There was no egress from it except the way by which they had entered. The most inexperienced eyes in the whole multitude must have seen the apparent absurdity of the movement. They must have seen what in the world was happening. Butler says this, the Red Sea crossing was preceded by a perplexing rout, which led the Israelites into an apparent trap for the Egyptian army to destroy them. When Israel left Egypt, Canaan was their destination, but first God led them to the wilderness. He led them to an impossible situation. The Egyptian army, according to Butler, was sent in pursuit of the Israelites, for as Pharaoh realized, Israel was trapped as far as human reasoning was concerned. Here Pharaoh is having given the command, but understanding, hey, where are they headed? They're headed to where? Oh, they're going to be entrapped. They're going to have the Red Sea on one. They're going to have waste deserts on the other. They're going to be in assuming a situation that is impossible. And Pharaoh says, let's get them, boys. Let's go after them. Butler goes on to say this, the geography of the area had Israel hemmed in for the Egyptian army to destroy them. The Ataka range on their right and the sea on their left and the mountain heights in front so that the Egyptians, with the Egyptians behind them, extrication from the cul-de-sac was by a natural egress absolutely impossible, according to Jameson. They're in an impossible situation, and who put them there? God did. A winner understands that sometimes God will lead us into wilderness impossibilities. They're in the desert, having been led there by God, looking around, understanding that the Egyptians now are coming, and they say, this situation is impossible. What are we going to do? F.B. Meyer says, often God seems to place His children in positions of profound difficulty, leading them into a wedge from which there is no escape, contriving a situation which no human judgment would have permitted had it been previously consulted. The very cloud conducts them thither. You may thus be involved at this very hour. It does seem perplexing and mysterious to the last degree, but it is perfectly right. The issue will more than justify Him who has brought you hither. It is a platform for the display of His almighty grace and power. He will not only deliver you, but in doing so, He will give you a lesson that you will never forget. And to which in many a psalm or song in after days you will revert, you will never be able to thank God enough for having done just as He has. Had He brought you into this position by yourself, you might have perished miserably. But since He brought you here, you have only to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. Now let's pause and just think about this by way of application to our lives. The children of Israel are in an impossible wilderness. A wilderness impossibility, having been led there by God. Why? Because God wanted to show Himself strong. God wanted to show the children of Israel a little more about Himself and about His ability. Do you know what? You and I will never be able to see God part the Red Sea in our lives unless we come face to face with that Red Sea. God wants to show us as His people that He is almighty and that He's able to part the Red Sea. He cannot show us His parting until He finds us or places us where we're staring at the Red Sea and the Red Sea needs parted. Then God can say, okay, I've led you here. And I've led you here for a reason, because I want to show you more of myself. I want to show you what I can do. Your picture of me is just a little too small. Let me expand your picture of me in your mind. Let me show you more of myself. And I'm leading you here to where it's impossible. But I'll part the Red Sea if you by faith will trust me. The Israelites, Moses especially, understood this is where God led them. It was the word of the Lord. A winner, number one, understands that God sometimes leads to wilderness impossibilities. Secondly, I want to say this. A winner understands that in times of wilderness impossibility, a person of faith must always look to God. A winner understands that in times of wilderness impossibility, a person of faith must always look to God. All right, you're here this morning and you say, you know, I find myself right where the children of Israel are. Boy, how did he know that? I didn't know it. God did. And you say, I find myself, I feel like I'm the children of Israel standing in a wilderness desert. I got the enemy on one side and mountains on the other. Red Sea right here. What do? I must always look to God. Do you know sometimes seeming impossible situations are that which causes God's people to get off the ground of faith? If God's going to show you more of Himself, if God's going to use you in a fuller, deeper way, He's going to stretch you. He's going to say, hey, let me show you more of myself. For Him to show us more of Himself and what He's able to do, He must show us more of ourselves and what we can't do. You see, it's easy for us sometimes to roll up our sleeves and in the flesh say, hey, I'm going to do this thing. God brings us to the end of ourselves as we stare at a Red Sea in our life. And God brings us there because He wants us to say, okay, God, I can't do it anymore. I give up. What do? And God says, okay, now let me show you how I can work this in your life. We don't like to be at the Red Sea. We like to figure things out. Especially men. You know, men, I don't know. We just like to get it all figured out as a problem. Let's solve the thing. But sometimes God gives us problems in our lives that we can't solve. And we're staring at a Red Sea, and we've got to look to Him. A winner in times of wilderness impossibility must always look to God. And that's what the children of Israel did. I want you to see three reasons why they looked to God. Number one, because God will give me His Word. God, in times of wilderness impossibility, will give me His Word. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses. Here they are, standing at the Red Sea. In verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Then he says in verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand. Moses has a word from the Lord as he's staring at the Red Sea. Do you know God multitudes of times says in the Word of God that the word of the Lord came unto? Genesis 15, the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto Nathan. 1 Kings 6 and verse 11, the word of the Lord came unto Solomon. 1 Kings 16:1, the word of the Lord came to Jehu. 1 Kings 18 and verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. 2 Chronicles 11 and verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 11, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel. Jonah 1 and verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Zechariah 4 and verse 8, moreover the word of the Lord came unto me or unto Zechariah. Psalm 32 and verse 8, the Bible says this, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 25 and verse 4, the Bible says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Psalm 86 and verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. In times of wilderness impossibility, we must look to God because God will give me His Word. God will show me what I'm supposed to do next. God will show me of Himself. Just as the children of Israel stood and looked at the Red Sea and realized, hey, this situation's impossible. Moses as the leader looked to God, and the Bible says the Word of the Lord came to Moses. And all throughout the Scripture, the Word of the Lord has come to God's people. And we've got promise after promise as God's people that the Word of the Lord will come to us. God is anxious and eager to show us His will. To show us promises from His Word that we can stand on. If we find ourselves in a wilderness impossibility, we must look to God because He'll give us His Word. Secondly, we must look to God because He will give us His strength. Look at verse 16. Now think about this before we read this. There are approximately 2 million Israelites. Approximately 2 million are leaving Egypt, heading to the promised land. There's 2 million people now standing in this wilderness impossibility. 2 million people staring at the Red Sea. To get 2 million people anywhere is a heap of a lot of work, humanly speaking. Verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. God will give me His strength in a time of a wilderness impossibility. All throughout the Scripture, God promises us. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I'll uphold thee. I love that passage of Scripture because there are some times when God gives me the strength, but there are some times when God carries me. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. No matter what the need is, God says, I'll meet the need. I'll either give you strength, I'll help you along, or if need be, I'll pick you up and I'll carry you through the difficulty. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. God promises us His strength to get 2 million people, little kids and grandmas and all different kinds of people, across the Red Sea on dry ground. That was a miracle of God. He gives His strength. And sometimes we stand at the Red Sea and we think, oh, this is humanly impossible. And God says, if you look to me, I'll give you my word. I'll give you a promise that I'll meet that need and that I'll strengthen you. Hey, not only that, I'll give you my strength. But thirdly, when we look to God in times of a wilderness impossibility, the Scripture says that God, or actually number three, I want you to see this. God says He'll give me His power. He'll give us His power. Look at Exodus 14 and verse number 19. Exodus 14 and verse 19. They needed a little more time. They needed some time to get across the Red Sea. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it became... And it came between the camp of the Israelites and the camp of the Egyptians, And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was as a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind that night, and that made the sea dry land, and the waters thereof were divided. Let me say this before we go any further. It's interesting that the Scripture says it was dry land. It rained yesterday. It rained today. Go out and drive. I challenge you to drive your car on your lawn. You know, like you do in the wintertime? Don't do that. It'll get stuck. Because the ground is moist, right? The ground is still wet. And it sometimes takes days and weeks for that to dry out. The Scripture says here, it was dry ground. It was hard ground, dry land. The waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and unto their left. Think about this. Just think about God's power in all of this. To take a cloud and to divide the Egyptians from the Israelites. That's incredible power. And then to part the Red Sea and to see the waters of the wall on one side and the other, and the ground is absolutely dry, hard ground. And then think about getting people to go through this. Can you imagine the little kids? They never seen anything like this happen. They get there and they look at this big wall. You know, sometimes you take kids someplace, take them to the zoo, you know, and you get them over there to the tigers or the lions. Oh, I don't want to go over there. I'm not going over there. You ever been there? You know, you take them, you pay all this money, and you try to give them a good time, and they're scared to death, and you leave there thinking, what a waste, right? You've been there, I've been there. Think about these little kids that are staring at this big wall, thinking, whoo, look at that wall. You think they were anxious and desirous to, you know, it doesn't say, by the way, it doesn't say that they ran. That's interesting, too. They walked on dry. It wasn't like, hey, I'm getting out of here before these waters, you know, let's go. It wasn't that. They were confident in the power of God. I mean, God's power is incredibly displayed in this passage of Scripture, in this wilderness impossibility. You're familiar with the story enough to be able to get the details in your mind. The fact is, God will give, just like He gave His people His power. He'll demonstrate His power in your life and in my life, when we find ourselves in those situations. By the way, not only does His power deliver, but His power sustains. To get all, I mean, we're talking 2 million people, and we're not talking about animals and all the other stuff. And we're talking about moving a whole host of people. And God's enabling power did it. It is important then, as winners, that we, in times of wilderness impossibility, look to God. Why? Because when I'm staring at the Red Sea, God will give me His Word. He'll give me truth that I can stand on. He'll give me promises if I look to Him. God will give me His strength in time of my weakness. I don't know about you, but when I'm staring at a wilderness impossibility, a Red Sea, sometimes, humanly speaking, I'm weak. Because I realize this thing is huge and I'm so small, I can't do it. That's when I need God's strength. And if I'll look to God in times of a wilderness impossibility, God will give me His power. His power, His grace will be perfect in my weakness. We'll see God do miracles in our lives. He'll part the Red Sea in our life. The problem is, we look at a wilderness impossibility, and we talked about this in Sunday school, never run from problems. Don't run through problems. Don't run from problems. Work through them. Human nature looks at a wilderness impossibility, looks at a Red Sea experience, whether it be in someone's life, this guy's hard, forget it. Whether it be in work, whether it be in job, whoever it is, you look at this impossibility, and humanly speaking, the flesh says, get out of there. And by the way, that's what some of the Israelites were saying. Some of them in their flesh, in the carnal state, were saying, Moses, would you bring us out here to die? They're looking at this Red Sea, huge impossibility, and they're saying, hey, I'm getting out of here. I want to go back to Egypt and make bricks and do whatever. And that's sometimes what God's people do when we're faced with impossibilities. God doesn't want us to run from our problems. He doesn't want us to run from these impossibilities. He wants us to rely on Him to give us the grace to work through that problem, to work through that difficulty. He can show us then more of Himself. And we'll have in our life a Red Sea experience. We'll see the Red Sea parted in our lives. A winner, number two, understands that in times of wilderness impossibility, a person of faith always looks to God. Number three, I want you to see this lastly, and we'll be finished. A winner understands, thirdly, that the arm of the flesh is always overcome by the wilderness impossibility. A winner understands that the arm of the flesh is always overcome by the wilderness impossibility. It doesn't say in our text that the children of Israel got out their lifeboats or their life jackets or their helicopters and tried to take action in their flesh. It does say some of them wanted to go backwards because, humanly speaking, they were weak. What happened to the Egyptians? Exodus 14 and verse number 30, the Bible says the Lord saved. Actually, listen to verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Pharaoh sent the best that he had after the Israelites. Send the chariots, send the horsemen, send them all. And it says, it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, hey, let us flee from the face of Israel. Look at this next phrase, for the Lord fighteth for them. The Egyptian understood that God was on the side of the Israelites. In their flesh, the Egyptians said, you know what? They're down there. Let's get them, boys. And they got on their chariots and horses, and they took off on partial dry ground until God discomfited them, and they fell apart. And what happened? The waters, the walls, the great big walls of the Red Sea, God said, okay. And they were drowned. In and of themselves. In their own flesh. You know, sometimes we think we can serve God in the power of the flesh. Sometimes our human nature, in a time of wilderness impossibility, says, hey, I'm going to do something. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. I never understood why sometimes God's people resist God. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 6, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It's one thing when we read this passage of Scripture to see the Israelites, God's people, they move through on dry ground. Whoo! It's another thing we see the Egyptians, the unsaved, the world, whatever. God drowns them. But it's a sad thing when God's people try to do the work of God or try to solve their own problems at enmity with God, not surrender to God, trying to, in the arm of the flesh, serve God or do whatever they're going to do. They try to figure out our impossible situations using the arm of the flesh, and it doesn't work. And it's tragic when God's people need the Red Sea parted and they find themselves drowning in the Red Sea because they're being stubborn. They're resisting what God's trying to do. They're not looking to God by faith and in surrender. Instead, they're trying the arm of the flesh to make things happen. And sometimes God allows His people to be drowning in the Red Sea until they look to Him and say, okay, God, I've got to surrender. I've got to, by faith, look to You. Because, God, I can't solve this wilderness impossibility on my own. A winner. The Israelites, by faith, crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Why? Because their faith was in God. They looked to God to do that which they couldn't do. A winner understands, number one, that God sometimes leads us to wilderness impossibilities. Secondly, a winner understands that in times of wilderness impossibility, a person of faith must always look to God. Thirdly, a winner understands that the arm of the flesh is always overcome by the wilderness impossibility. I want us to bow for prayer.